Are you over your stubborn belly fat? Do you wish you could get the fat out in half a day without the risk of being put under or heavy surgical fee? Go to 805lipo.com and check out Dr. Adrian Lara's incredible deal for HD liposuction. It's 100% customer recommended and performed by a Harvard-trained surgeon, voted favorite med spa 2 years in a row by VC Star. So what are you waiting for? Go to 805lipo.com before the offer expires.
The 30th Annual Ojai Wine Festival, Ventura County's premier tasting event, is returning to Lake Casitas on Sunday, June 12th from noon to 4. Admission includes unlimited tastings of over 60 wines and 30 craft beers. Join us for an afternoon of live music, amazing food, artisan vendors, and the best selection of beer and wine on the California coast. VIP and general admission tickets are available now at OhaiWineFestival.com. Proceeds benefit local and international charity projects. Don't miss the 30th Annual Ojai Wine Festival, Sunday, June 12th. Visit OhaiWineFestival.com today.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope that you are all waking up, starting your day in a positive way. You have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life right here in the 805. And of course, I'm Kim. I'm here with Chad. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this morning?
Good, 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 good. It's a good weekend and lots going on as always. And I am excited to connect everybody with all these great events. Tom, how you doing?
Everything's well here on another beautiful Saturday, Kim.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, we always start our show with a little bit of motivation. Be brave. Take risks. Nothing can substitute experience. And every day you start your day, I mean, it's really like a gift. It's like a new slate and you can start all over. So I know we got lots of things going on. I want to make sure that you follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on what else is there?
Snapchat
there. Yeah, our podcast. I mean, follow us. If you're missing our show and you got to walk into a meeting or you're going somewhere, you can always download our shows on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show and hear us there. Also, and all of our shows are on our website, and that is kimpaganoshow.com. And again, if you are a business or an event or anything like that, call us because we want to be your information station and so that we can get the news out for you. So all you have to do is call us at 805-419-0008. That also is the number to win. We've got lots of stuff that we're giving away on our show, lots of events. And again, write that phone number down at 805-419-0008. I want to recognize and welcome Danny Bonson. And of course, it's Studio Soul. And it is soulfitsolutions.com. She has joined us, and I'm really excited to. We're going to talk to her next week a little bit about all the stuff she does. But again, every Monday and Wednesday at Camarillo Ranch Foundation, over at the ranch there, she does some classes there. And so if you're interested, definitely go check her out, Soul Fit Solutions. And of course, Danny, we're so glad to have you. Also, Studio Channel Islands, and they've got all these great things happening. And of course, I'm excited about their Art a la Mode, and that is their cocktail reception and gala. And of course, that is happening August 13th. And if you haven't walked in there, I went last weekend to Arts Alive. Oh my God, amazing. It's like all these bungalows of all these artists back there. It's really cool.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So anyways, go check out Studio Channel Island. And also big shout out to Mortgage Couch. And of course, if you're interested in getting a loan quickly, simply, and safely, call them or go to their website, mortgagecouch.com, or call 805-676-0377. Really quick, Big shout out. Oh my God, I've been looking at some of these online little YouTubes, and Dr. Adrienne Laura, Celebrating Women's Center. She was in, you met her, right, Chad?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's summer. She can help you out there if you got a little couple extra pounds, or, you know, maybe you want, I don't know, there's all these things. But not only that, she's women wellness, female preventive, weight management, Botox, fillers, HD liposuction. I'm telling you, give her a call at 805-988-7577. And of course, it's all about Celebrating Women's Center, and that's right here in Oxnard. All right, I do want to start our show. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. Write that number down. Our first guest this morning is Dr. Callie Estates, and the founder of the Addictions Coach and Addictions Academy. We're going to find out a little bit about what we can find out about Prince's toxicology, and really just an epidemic that's going on in our world right now. And again, I'm really excited to share our show with you. Our next guest after that is going to be Gay Dillingham. And there's a documentary film that is so unique. It's Dying to Know. And we've got a few tickets that we're going to give away for that. But it's a documentary, and it's two people, a conversation that they had just before they were dying. But it's really heartfelt, so I think you'll really enjoy that. Tom, you want to give really quick talk about some of our great giveaways?
Yes, we have some excellent restaurants. Famous Dave's Barbecue, 20 Years of Texas Beef Brisket, Done the Right Way, Sea Glass Way in Oxnard, Paul Martin's Seasonal and Delicious Menu featuring free-range and natural meats and poultry, located at the Promenade Westlake Village, Lure Fish House at 60 South California Street in Ventura, the Veggie Grill, a variety of healthy choices from chicken wraps to fish tacos, also Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill, quality ingredients, and all sorts of sustainable seafood to freshly made salsa. They have it all there, North Rose Avenue in Oxnard. Pete's Breakfast House, have a hearty breakfast with the freshest ranch, eggs, and farm produce in town, 2055 East Main Street, Ventura. Urbane Cafe, for a healthy gourmet brunch, located at 4960 Telephone Road, Ventura. How about the Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar? Visit the cocktail bar for midday brunch, and you can have lunch there too, at Town Center Drive, Oxnard. And some sugar, it's donuts, it's the best. Rolling Pin Donuts, Las Posas Road in Camarillo.
There you go. Let's do that. Rolling Pin Donuts, we've got a dozen for you, and call us right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Dr. Kelly Estes, are you there? Hello? Oh, did we lose him? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you so much. Sorry, we had to get through all of our info. We've got so many great sponsors and advertisers, and we're so excited. Anyways, tell us a little bit about yourself, and how do you pronounce your name, just so I can get you it right?
Sure, it's Callie Estes, and I'm known as the Addictions Coach.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being here. So tell us about the what is the Addiction Coach, and what sort of clients do you typically work with?
Sure. I work with all kinds of clients that have an addiction, so drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, gaming, Facebook, food, anything that's impeding their life or stopping them from unlocking their true potential.
Wow. Okay. So that kind of hits the gamut right there, right?
Uh-huh. That's everything.
That's everything. And how long have you been doing this?
21 years.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, it kind of seems like right now there's different types of drugs that are, I don't want to say in style, but more prominent. I guess that would be.
Inaccessible.
Inaccessible. Maybe that's a perfect word. What's your thought on that?
Well, right now, heroin and fentanyl are the easiest to get. And that's because the Oxy and Roxy's prescriptions dried up.
Right.
So the market, you know, the market will bear certain drugs, and that's what people are asking for. So, of course, it's being flooded right now.
Okay. And, of course, you know, we keep hearing of, you know, different celebrity clients that have addictions. And, of course, the last one was Prince. And so tell us, how do celebrity clients differ from addicts?
Well, celebrity clients can be addicts, so they're not really any different in terms of that. The difference would be the unlimited bank account, whereas the average person, you know, you can spend so much, but eventually you're going to run out of money. They don't. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is they have a crowd of what I call the yes people, the handlers that say yes to everything. And those are people that want to be around the celebrity. They want to work for the celebrity. They want the big paycheck. So when the celebrity says, I need this, they fetch it for them.
Wow.
Okay. When you're dealing with an addict, it's telling them no that actually gets them to stop and having consequences. And when you have someone that kind of is allowed to do what they want because they can afford it, and obviously if the handler doesn't get them what they want, they fire them, the addiction runs rampant to the point where the person usually overdoses.
Wow. That, I mean, you know, it's funny. You never would have thought those are distinct differences. And I totally agree. I mean, as a family addict, it's like you need to move out. You need to, everything kind of shuts down. But when you have endless, or you have all these people working for you, they almost have to please you no matter what you do. Really good. I mean, that's important. I mean, I've never heard it put that way. So thank you. Talk to us about Prince's toxicology report that confirmed that he died from a power opiate called fentanyl.
Yeah, fentanyl should never have been prescribed to him in the first place. If it was, if he was getting it on the black market, i.e. someone else's prescription or buying it, you know, off the street, that should never have even came into his inner circle, because fentanyl in very small doses is toxic. That's the first problem. The second problem with Prince is he was Narcan, and that was the safe shot that he was given on the plane. Once you have a Narcan shot, your system literally cleans out. So if you use the amount you were using before the Narcan shot, you'll overdose. And no one told him that, or no one watched him to make sure that wouldn't happen. And I don't know if that's an EMT issue, I don't know if that's a doctor issue or a handler issue, but the information wasn't relayed, and he obviously took the amount he was taking before, and then we see what happened.
Wow. What is fentanyl? The listener can understand what exactly that is.
It's an opiate. It's a very powerful opiate. It's usually used in surgery because it knocks you out pretty quickly. It's not something you would want to mess with at a street level.
Wow. And why is this substance so dangerous? Because does it shut down your internal, or what does it do?
Well, you know, if you've ever gone in for surgery and they have you count backwards, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Yeah, and you get to 9. Seven, okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
You can't remember. That's what this is.
Wow.
That's how powerful it is. So if you don't have the dosage correctly, you could pass away fairly quickly. And that's why, you know, if you're in surgery and they start to see someone code, they can give you another shot that brings you back because they gave you too much of the drug. But if you're taking this on your own, you don't have that ability. And that's why, you know, he was in an elevator when he passed. That's how fast it was. He got in the elevator, and by the time the elevator doors opened, he was expiring.
Wow.
So the drug fentanyl, though, is cheap. So they're cutting the heroin with the fentanyl because it gives the addict a higher high. And the addict is always in search of bigger, better, faster.
Wow.
Plus it's cheap.
And now, so fentanyl is obviously on the streets. Our kids, our addicts can get them easily?
Yeah. They're cutting the heroin with the fentanyl. I think they had 22 deaths in Pittsburgh in one day.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
From the heroin that was tainted with fentanyl.
And does it have the same addictive qualities as something like heroin or some other illicit drug out there? Or is it just a one-time high and then it's out of your system?
No, think of it as heroin on steroids.
Nice.
That's the best way to explain it to you.
Wow.
So it has all the same properties of heroin, but it has a higher high.
Wow, wow. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are waking up with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, this is part of our Brighter Side of Recovery. And, of course, we're talking with Dr. Callie Estes, founder of The Addictions Coach, and, of course, The Addictions Academy. So if somebody was listening and maybe they feel that they need help or that they need something in their life, how would they go about it, or what would be the best advice that you would give them?
Well, they can give us a call at 1-800-706-0318, extension 1. We've got someone here 24/7 to answer the phone. If we can't help you, we will find someone that can.
Wow. Okay. And so what are your methods in dealing with clients of similar status?
As friends?
Yeah. Well, or as, you know, I mean, somebody that has a problem that, you know, I mean, what would you, how would you, maybe they don't really want help. That's really a lot of people that they don't want help and their family's looking at them going, we need help. Right. But what would you, I mean, what would be the first method?
Well, the first thing we do is work with the individual. We let them know what the consequences are, the direction they're heading, and what we can do. We also meet them where they are. We don't tell them you have to do a 30-day treatment, you have to do an abstinence-based program. We meet them right exactly where they are. So we'll do harm reduction, we'll do 12-step, we'll do coaching, we'll do yoga and fitness and holistic. We'll do whatever we can to get them to go in the right direction. And it may be baby steps at first, but anything, you know, progress, not perfection, anything is a step in the right direction versus going backwards or staying the same.
So your program is individualized depending on the...
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yep.
And how do you do the 12 steps?
We offer it, yes. We don't force it. If they don't want to go, that's fine. We'll find an alternate route, but we do encourage it for everybody.
Okay. And have you ever had an addiction problem yourself?
Yeah, my primary addiction was food, followed by diet pills. When I went to the doctor and he said, oh, we'll solve your issue. You're obviously overweight and you eat too much. Here, take some Fen-Phen. And then I ended up addicted to diet pills. So then I had two addictions.
Okay, and how did you overcome it?
I hit my...
Oh, we lost you there. Are you there? Hello? Oh.
Well...
Well, all right. Well,
we'll get her back.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because I know that some people and some doctors, they go to different doctors, right? And one doctor gives you one thing and then another doctor.
The doctor shopping.
Yeah. Doctor shopping. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, it's almost like you have to be your own advocate. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, OK, I want one to take to go to sleep, one to wake up, one to, you know, not eat. It's like, why? Why don't we have more control over our own bodies? And yet at the same time.
Well, we do. We do have absolute control over our bodies. And that's what he did. He decided to take this and because he had control over it.
Oh, OK, that is so true. OK, yeah, in the sense. But I'm talking about, you know, I guess we're not doctors. So
yes.
We don't know that maybe whatever he took, he got off the street or somebody gave him and he trusted them. That's kind of goes back to, you know, my mom always told me, don't drink that, you know, and I said to the kids, don't put your drink down.
Well, here's how I look at it. I mean, Prince is a very, as you can look at his career, very intelligent man.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was taking. I doubt he just popped something in his mouth or put a patch on or took a shot without knowing exactly what he was doing. Did he think he was going to die from that shot or that dosage that time? Probably not. But he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what effect it was going to get because he needed that.
Right.
His body needed that. His mind needed that. And, you know, as addicts, I mean, my brother died as an addict.
I'm
very aware of this, and it's a choice that they make.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe they can't. Maybe their mind has been, you know, at a point where it's so clouded that their body has to take it.
Right.
Or they have the shakes or whatever physical symptoms they have.
Right.
But definitely, I think it's a choice they make, and they have to hit rock bottom, whatever rock bottom is. And if you don't.
And you know what's interesting? So you're talking about your family, and I think we have Dr. Kelly Estes. Are you back on with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah. What makes one family member, you know, I go that route? And we were talking about where you have an addictive family member, and then you have somebody that is like almost the opposite, you know?
Yes.
Polter opposite. So again, we were talking, Dr. Estes, about you know, different addictions and how we almost have to be our own advocate, and we have that negative voice in our mind, or we have, you know, somebody trusted saying, just take this. Even when somebody says, here, just take that, I'm like, are you sure this is like what you know, I have to make sure that I'm in control of what I do.
Well, that's the thing with addicts is that most of their life, they have an enabler. So someone has allowed them to not have to deal with consequences and not have to deal with any issues or backlash.
Right.
And if that person was educated on codependency and how not to be that way, the addict's behavior would have changed a long time ago.
Right.
So it's almost a family thing. And if you can get to the family and get them to understand certain behaviors that the family does allow the addict to operate.
Got it.
And when the family changes their behavior, the addict's behavior changes.
I have to say something on this because my brother was an alcoholic and he actually died of kidney and liver disease. And I am not an addict and I don't see myself as an addict. And I was I'm the youngest, he was the middle, and we had an older brother. We all turned out differently. I think it's also has to do with placement in the family. I think it has to do with, you know, he was 2 months premature. I think there's some DNA aspect of it, because I don't have the same desire to excessively drink to the point that I have to forget all my problems. So, I mean, I do think there's a DNA and genetic aspect of it that sometimes, I don't know, chromosomes, I'm not a scientist, but I think there's something to it.
I do too. I really do. Yeah. So
would you agree or disagree, doctor?
I agree. And if you also take a look at Claudia Black's work, you're talking about placement in the family.
Oh.
With the hero, the scapegoat, the addict. Take a look at that and take a look at your family and you will see the similarities.
What was that? What was the name of that?
Claudia Black is the woman who did Family Dynamics. Oh, phenomenal work.
Right.
From the 60s.
Okay.
And it'll show you how placement changes things, how the parenting style of the placement of the child, with the middle child being the most susceptible to drug and alcohol.
Okay.
Wow. I agree with that. And then also, I think when we were growing up, I truly believe, because he was probably out of the three of us the smartest and the most attractive, and I can honestly say that. But I also think he probably had some ADHD or something else like that that hindered him in his being able to articulate himself and be the best him. And at that time in the 70s and 80s, I'm aging myself a little bit here, but, you know, I don't think it was diagnosed and it wasn't treated properly and schools didn't recognize it and give the extra help. So, I mean, he had the hardest road out of all of us.
I totally agree.
And I think sometimes it was his choices that made the hardest road, even not being, because he was the most mouthy. He always argued with everybody. I argued, but I did it. I articulated myself and I was more less argumentative and more discussionary, you know, discussing things. So I think there's so many aspects to this.
I do agree. Dr. Callie Estes, we thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life and, of course, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Where can we find out more about you? And if you could leave us with one tip for a family member or anybody that's, you know, just has something that isn't feeling right and they feel like they need some help, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to call and ask questions.
Okay.
Call your resources. There are tons of people out there in this industry that are willing to help. Call and ask anything. We're not going to turn you away. No question is stupid.
Okay.
So that's super important. And they can reach us at theaddictionscoach.com, 1-800-706-0318, extension 1. And we'll be more than happy to assist with anything, any questions, or help get someone into treatment.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I hope that you share our show with all of your friends and your contacts. And we appreciate you being here to kind of sort us out and help us kind of figure out where we're going with everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You have a really great day. All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I want to remind everybody, tomorrow is the 30th annual Ojai Wine Festival. And of course, I hope to see everybody out there 12 to 4 up at Lake Casitas. And of course, it's all about wine, beer, food, and lots of fun out there. So I hope that everybody will be out there to share in that. And of course, also, so we've got Feast of the Beast Food and Wine coming up. And, of course, that's at Cafe Firenze. And it's all about, you know, featuring, what is it? Feast of the Beast and Till the Cows Come Home. Okay. So that's June 23rd. I've got a pair of tickets. And it starts at 5 o'clock in Moore Park. Give us a call right now. I'd love to send somebody there at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500. Rubicon Theater Company is Ventura County's premier destination for professional theater. Join the Kim Pagano Show as we enjoy their production of Clarence Darrow, playing May 25th through June 12th in Ventura's downtown cultural district. This one-person tour de force is based on the life and landmark cases of the great controversial trial lawyer who at one time commanded over $250,000 for each case. To purchase tickets, visit www.rubicontheater.org or call 805-667-2900. That's 805-667-2900.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, we're all about events. And
yes.
We've got another event coming up, Conejo Food and Wine Festival in Thousand Oaks, right off of Moore Park in Jans right there. And, of course, that's going to be Sunday, June 26th, 1:30 to 5:30. And, oh, my God. Lots of fun stuff there, and I've got tickets. I've got tickets to all of these events that are happening, and I would love to get a pair of tickets out right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. If you don't win them here, you can go to CanejoFoodAndWine.com. And I know you wanted to share something, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Cabrillo Music Theater today, part of Our World. It's where land meets sea, when Cabrillo Music Theater celebrates their upcoming production of The Little Mermaid with Part of Our World. This free family-friendly event, a collaboration between Cabrillo Music Theater, Paul Works, myself, and Shiro's Entertainment provides an afternoon of fun, adventure, and music. This is today between 1 and 4, and we'll have puppies out there. So
ooh, if anybody wants
you're looking to adopt.
There you go.
And as Shiro's, you know what they are? They actually are mermaids. They come out, they travel the world, and they're a mermaid group.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Okay.
I can't wait to see
this. And you
this.
Know, really quick, talk about your brunch that's got going on.
Oh, yes, our second annual Barks and Bubbles. It's breakfast at Sniffany's. It's going to be at Westlake Village and on July 17th from 10:30 to 3:30. We're going to have amazing speakers. It's going to be Michelle Cho, who's the HSUS, which is Humane Society of the United States, Vice President for Community Outreach, and Rebecca Corey, who is the founder of Stand Up for Pits. In addition, we'll have unlimited mimosas and a beautiful...
I'm there.
Yeah,
okay.
Right?
No.
You are
yeah.
there. You have
no.
tickets.
Yeah,
and we
no.
might actually give some tickets away
oh,
next week.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. So yeah, you guys always do such a great job. And just mention your two places that everybody can help.
Oh, yeah. We have two locations. One at the Oaks Mall. That's our adoption center and boutique. And the other one is at Pacific View Mall in Ventura. And that's a resale boutique with an adoption center in it. It's a whole collaboration of things there.
We got lots of fun stuff.
We have lots going on.
All right. Well, I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us, and if you're a new listener, we're so glad you're here. We know we got lots of choices, and we are here from 6 to 8 every Saturday, and our next guest is Gay Dillingham, and we're going to be talking about a documentary, Dying to Know. I'm excited about how they created this film, and of course, you know, we've got tickets to it, so I would love to share those, and we're going to find out a little bit more. Of course, that is happening in L.A. on June 17th, so let's welcome Gay Dillingham. Gay, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life, the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you know, your background.
Well, I'm pretty... non-linear, I would say, but consistent. My background's environmental science communications and got into filmmaking in the late 80s, and then I took a little sabbatical into business, took a trail into business and launched a couple environmental technology businesses and worked under Governor Richardson doing environmental management for the state of New Mexico for 8 years, and there also did international policy work, nuclear weapons, and climate change. found my way back to filmmaking actually through this particular film that I had started in 1995. And I just found much of the conversation and content that these two men, Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert Ramdas, we had filmed them before Tim died in 95. And I got back into filmmaking because this footage kept pulling me back. It was kind of haunting me because I knew there was a lot there. So I really dove in and spent some time finishing it. And it's been quite a journey. You can imagine 20 years.
Yeah,
so
wow.
We can get more into that. But kind of a background that a variety of experiences. But I'm grateful to be doing what I'm doing now.
And how did you come to create this film?
Well, it was 1995, and I was also doing PBS shows for Dr. Andrew Weil, ironically, too, at the same time. And Andrew Weil is also in this film and plays significantly, which I'll get into that more later if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1995, Timothy had announced in the media he was dying, and I was having dinner with some very close friends, and we said, this is a historical moment, what could we do? And decided to bring Ramdas down from Northern California and put him together with Timothy. So we decided I would direct this, and it was kind of an interesting decision given I was the youngest one at the table and did not live through these early years where these two psychologists, Leary and Alpert, had done some of the first legal sanctioned work experimenting with psychedelics, in this case psilocybin, the mushroom, mm-hmm. graduate students.
Right.
And this is also kind of what then propelled it into our culture and really kind of started what we know of today as the 60s. But what really captivated me was their relationship. And so the film is really the portal of their relationship. And really how they affected an entire generation. So it's not just a history film. I did build the history. There's 80 years of footage from beginning to end.
Wow.
But I did it because I found that these two men had a very rich, unique, inspired conversation about this mystery in our landscape called death. And they had both written The Psychedelic Experience, which was based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, back in the 60s is when they wrote that, and it helped somebody go through a session, but in a way that could practice psychological death and rebirth. And they really were advocates and coined the set and setting, which is how you go into these sessions with intention and with the nature of your mind and so forth. So I just felt like in terms of what's up in our, you know, for me and now in the zeitgeist, people are very curious about these questions, and these two had a lot to say. And anyway, it's a little bit of a long-winded answer, but...
So Gay...
It's like baklava. There's a lot of layers.
So quick question, just for the listeners. Yeah. The movie surrounds Ramdas and Timothy Leary. Can you just, in a sentence or two for each one, tell who these two individuals were so that the average listener who hasn't followed this or doesn't know who they are can understand?
Sure, thank you. Yeah. Tim Leary was born in 1921 and Richard in 31, Richard Alpert, who then later on in the 70s became Ramdas, and he is still alive. Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert were the Harvard psychologists in the early 60s, who, like I said before, did the first legal sanctioned work with graduate students of psychedelics. And they were also then not, Richard was fired from Harvard, and Timothy quit. His contract had expired, and he didn't come back. But these two ended up in very different courses in their life. Ramdas went to India and really helped bring back a lot of the Eastern wisdom, including dying, you know, how to midwife the dying. And
wow.
He started the Dying Project with Stephen and Audrey Levine. and Levine, and Timothy ended up more in the political realm and got arrested, spent almost 4 years in prison, 2.5 in solitary confinement, after he took the very test that he had written as a psychologist for the California State Prison System. He took that when he was arrested. So anyway, there's a lot of interesting surprises.
That's interesting. And then, of course, Dr. Weil, he was a holistic doctor, correct?
Yeah, he's really kind of the father of what we know of now as integrative medicine.
Right, right.
Where Western medicine, Western doctors can be trained in all the other modalities to know when and how to use what.
Right.
And he's also an author, best-selling author, and the guy with the big beard.
There you go.
He was an undergraduate at the time at Harvard.
Wow. Gay, you know what? I want to find out what your most important takeaway is, but we need to take a really quick break. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, great. Sure. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, we love to give things away. We've got tickets to go and see this Dying to Know. And, of course, in fact, Gay, can you tell us exactly where it is?
It's at the Lindley Royal Theater on Santa Monica.
Okay.
On June 17th, opening all week with events and speakers every night.
Okay.
And then June 18th, it's also going to be through the weekends at Claremont and Pasadena, also at the Lindley Theater.
Okay, great. We have some tickets, and thank you very much for that. We'd love to get those out to our winners right now. If you call in at 805-419-0008, 419-0008, we'd love to get you there. And if you do not win them here, Gay, where do they go to get them?
Our website has all the information, dyingtoknowmovie.com. Or the Lemley Theater. I think it's lemley.com.
Okay, and it's the L-A-E-M-L-L-E?
Yeah, you know what? Go to our website.
Okay.
I want to make sure that
dyingtoknowyou.com.
Dyingtoknowmovie.com.
Okay, and no, K-N-O-W.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. All right, stay with us. And again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Elite Theater Company has been entertaining, educating, and enriching its audiences since 1994. Their new venue at Channel Islands Harbor Fisherman's Wharf provides a unique and marvelous space for high-quality, live productions that bring together local talents of both amateur and professional performers. Come catch the Elite Series main stage show, Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap, a thrilling murder mystery playing June 3rd through July 3rd. To find out more and to purchase tickets to their upcoming productions, please call 805-483-5118. That's 805-483-5118, or visit www.elitetheater.org. June 25th through June 26th, Ross Emery Entertainment presents the 8th Annual Roadshow Revival, a celebration of American roots music. This music festival will feature 75 vendors, 50 pinups, 100 hot rods, motorcycles, food, and beer, top-notch rockabilly performers, Johnny Cash tribute acts, and even a kids' corral. So bring your family, a blanket, or a lawn chair to the grassy fields at Mission Park in downtown Ventura. This event is very family-friendly. To purchase tickets, visit www.roadshowrevival.com. Revival.com. That's www.roadshowrevival.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here. I do want to remind everybody about June 27th and June 28th Roadshow Revival. And we've got tickets. It's all about, it's all going to happen at the Mission Park, Ventura, right out here. And call us because we've got tickets for you. And that number is 805-419-0008. 419-0008. And of course, It's Saturday and Sunday, and so we'd love to share those with everyone out there. All right. Again, I do want to remind anybody that is just tuning in, we are going to be here all the way till 8 o'clock, and we've got Ursula Menches is going to be talking with us. If you want to be inspired by selling, this lady will do that to you. And then we're also going to be talking with Cheryl Barker about the author of Mother of the Bride. And again, right now we're talking with Gay Dillingham, and we're talking about her documentary, Dying to Know. We've got tickets, and we'd love to share those with you. Again, that is June 17th, and it's down in L.A. off of Santa Monica. We would love to share that with you, and there's a couple other locations. All you have to do is go to dyingtoknowmovie.com. If you don't win them here. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Gay, thank you again for being with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. What is your most important takeaway from doing this movie?
Clarify that the film starts on the 17th, but we're scheduled with speakers all the way through the 23rd.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Get those tickets throughout the whole week.
Okay.
It's not just the 17th. Okay. Well, there's a lot of takeaways for me. You can well imagine something that started spontaneously and really I spent 20 years of my life on and off, really. Marinating, studying, living with these two people and their life and learnings. And the takeaways, in many ways, I also hear from the people after they come out of the film, which is somehow they don't have the same fear of dying. They feel more open about the transition, and they're inspired. I had a young woman who was only 18 say, "This film makes me want to live more and love more."
Mm.
So, ironically, here we have a film about what we say is death, but it actually is very inspiring. And you know, I'm also committed to helping understand. It's not just how we die at the end of this particular mortal body when this spacesuit wears out on us, but all those little deaths that we need to go through, the psychological deaths, to live more fully. So death and rebirth.
You know, when you said that, it's about, you know, dying. It's almost like dying to live, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Dying to Know, the title, Dying to Know.
Yeah. Now, you know, Chad and I were talking in our break. And so would you consider them both to have addictions to be right?
Well, yeah, because we on the last segment, we had Dr. Callie Estes, who's the addiction coach, the founder of that organization. And being that they worked with psychedelics in the 60s, I mean, I'm assuming they went on spiritual journeys themselves. I'm assuming they both, you know, attempted and tried things and outreached their mind and all that. So I'm curious, is there a level of addiction, do you think, in these two men that played a part in their trying to gain better knowledge of their world and their life?
Yeah, I understand your question, because I think a lot of people have that, considering the kind of way these two men were caricatured for our culture. And ironically, or more appropriately, there's a lot of correspondence between Bill W., who started AA, and Timothy Leary and Alpert during these years, because they felt it really had a lot of potential to help people break addictions, in fact. So the research is now being worked on again. It was shut down for a number of years, but there's been some good research happening around the country in places like Johns Hopkins and NYU and UCLA. And some of that is with addiction, breaking people of alcohol addiction, things like that, and using a structured psychedelic session with psilocybin, in this case, this particular study. Two sessions with a lot of therapy, getting underneath the issues of addiction so that they can break that habitual pattern. Now, you asked particularly about these two men. I would say that Ram Dass, after this period in the early 60s at Harvard, he went off to India because he wanted to know this expanded state of awareness and consciousness. What cultures really know about this, and how do I have other tools to meet those expanded states of consciousness? And that's when he then got his name Ram Dass, which means servant of God. And he came back and wrote a seminal book, which kids are still, we're all still buying now, called Be Here Now. Ram Dass is still very alive and living in Maui and doing retreats, and he's alive in cyberspace. And a lot of young people are now being turned on to his teaching and his wisdom. And I would say from the time I've known him, and for actually any human I know, he is actually living in a state of unconditional love.
I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's
because he's really practiced his whole life, so he really lives in that space. I would say, I'm kind of answering your question a very different way. On the other hand, had a more tragic life. I would say it's a cautionary tale in some ways. I mean, you'll see.
Wow, totally opposites still,
well,
so many ways.
That's why,
right?
I asked, because I did read that he had five marriages and a few kids. It never stated how many kids. So it looked like he had a tumultuous life and there was a lot of challenges. So that's why that addiction idea popped in my head. And I thought, usually people who have addictions, there's more challenges that come their way.
No question. Now, what is your plan to get, obviously, this film out? And you're kind of doing it in a non-traditional and orthodox distribution. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been really interesting. We're doing it ourselves right now. We're finding some partners to work with that have, similar goals. We're only in theaters. We will eventually be digital, but we've really discovered that this film and its story lends itself to very deep conversations about life and death and drugs and medicine, and consciousness, politics, what we might call mystery. So we are, and this is why it's so wonderful to be at the Limley Theaters. It's community theater. We did a word of mouth screening a week and a half ago, and it sold out within 90 minutes. It was a very beautiful gathering.
Wow.
So we don't have many opportunities anymore to really sit in community with diverse people. And, what I'm calling now in this theater experience, that's where we tell our stories.
I love it. And that's really what my show is all about, telling your story.
It's our modern campfire. We can sit, in a dark room and have a good projection, good sound, and then afterwards be able to talk with each other and review, our past, contemplate our future, where we want to go, and support each other. So we've been doing this in communities around the country, and it's been so beautiful and rewarding.
Gay, let me ask you a question. So for our listeners that are going, God, this sounds so interesting, is it going to be emotional? Is it going to be depressing? Is it going to be inspirational? What are the feelings that we're going to take from it?
Well, what viewers have told me time and again, and a lot of people come back 2, 3, and 4 times to watch it, which is quite a compliment. But they come away, they say they've laughed and they've cried, but almost universally inspired. So even though it's discussing some of the tougher issues that we have in front of us, it's a very, I think, opening, because we're allowing the questions to be asked without telling people how to believe or think. It's allowing the questions, allowing the deeper look.
Was your take from this, of doing this for 20 years? What are the gifts that you personally took away from it?
Good question.
Thank you.
Every day I keep getting to those gifts keep coming, actually. Every time I show this film to people, the gifts keep coming.
Because that's how I feel about my radio show. Every time I have somebody on, I always feel like my show is like, school on air. And I'm sure as you're, filming 20 years of, of discovering two powerful people kind of on, polar opposites, but powerful in growth of life. And yet at the same time, there's always takeaways.
Well, I still get the privilege of the takeaways with Ram Dass because he's alive. As a matter of fact, after this LA screening, I'll see him. And to be in his presence all these years and just learn from him and be with him as a friend and a teacher has been incredible. And with Tim, I would say, because he died not, you know, within a year plus of me starting the project. So it's not like I had a lot of, I mean, I'd seen him in the 80s, but quite frankly, I was not that attracted because I saw more the showman at that moment than I did the real man.
Now, did they both think that they were going to die?
What do you mean?
Well,
we're all going to die.
No. At that point, he knew.
So at that moment, Ram Dass was still very healthy. This first dialogue in 1995, Tim was the one that had just gotten his diagnosis with cancer, and the first person he called was Ram Dass.
Got it.
Because they had been through so many psychological deaths, we burst together. He thought Ram Dass would definitely understand what this death would be about for him. So that's why he called Ram Dass, and Ram Dass helped midwife him through this last piece, as well as a lot of the people around him helped coach him. So that was a beautiful thing. But I, you know, back to Tim, you know, and looking at his life, the first time I saw him, he was a showman. So I really was interested in the human story, and also to reconcile these caricatures that my media culture had handed me with who I really came to know and love and understand, Tim and Ram Dass. And to reconcile these caricatures that you know, I had with these real men. So I really, in a lot of ways, got to know Tim through a lot of the archives, through the other people that knew and loved him or didn't love him, you know. And to see Tim and his life, but through the lens of Ram Dass's love. So in many ways, Ram Dass is telling Tim's story in this film. And it was very opening and enlightening for me to see things that way. And we're all human doing the best we can. And, you know, Tim Leary had been glorified and demonized, particularly demonized. And it was liberating for me to see kind of the composition, both of his life, but more the and of Ram Dass's life, but how their lives wove together, impacted a whole generation. Whether we knew them or not, they changed our lives.
I love it. What do you want people to get out of this film?
I would say more space, more openness, more heart, more love and less fear, compassion. You know, less anxiety. You know, we have a particular cultural taboo and hang up, and not all cultures are like this. We do not hold death on our shoulder in a way that puts us in the cycle of nature, which is life and death. Many cultures have ritual and clarity and rites of passage around it. We don't. Some of our religious institutions do, but many of us feel we've outgrown some of those more institutional answers, and we're searching. And I think we're in these growing pains. And for me, these two men in this conversation and then the other people we bring into the film, this is my way of you know, my own self-discovery of those questions, of meaning, what gives us meaning.
And Gay, are you, and I'm asking this because, are you afraid of dying?
You know, I'm a little bit of Tim and a little bit of Ram Dass. I would say that I'm curious. Sometimes I'm afraid. Most of the time, I'm not. I'm actually feeling the preciousness of knowing that this will end gives me more inspiration to live fully.
Yeah, so, I always say yes, I don't want to leave any life on the table. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, but it's interesting. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I just lost my mom unexpectedly in February. And
oh my.
Yeah. And so when you asked me to, you know, work with you on this, to share this, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I always believe, I was just telling Chad, all the right people come into your life. I truly believe that. But it's interesting, in our culture and in what I grew up, we never really talked about death. And you know, it's scary because it's so final. That's the problem, that it's so final in some ways, depending on if you believe on.
See, I was different. I have a lot of great aunts and uncles, and I went to a lot of funerals. And I remember going to the funerals, and I think it gave me perspective. And then when my brother passed, I was actually his power of attorney, so I had to make the decision. And then I'm in animal rescue, so I have to sometimes euthanize animals. So it's given me a lot of perspective on life, and I don't personally fear it for myself. I more fear losing people than anything, because I don't want to live without them.
Correct.
Right. I'm not worried about them living without me, because I know I'll be fine. I do try to live every moment
as I really can. Yeah.
But I don't want to live without other people, because they do give you joy and they do give you something. So that's my fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite.
That's interesting. That's and that would be so like
well,
you.
And you're in a tender moment, Kim, with your mother. I mean, there is nothing like losing a mother. I lost my brother when I was 17, which is when I started, I think, waking up a little earlier in my life than I would have. And then I lost my father. So, you know, these can be doorways.
Absolutely. And my mom was very spiritual, and I look for signs, and I look for, you know, but at the same time, there's just nothing that's ever going to take her place. Not that you want. I mean, she's still in my heart. I believe in angels. I believe in all that. But again, it's just another awakening in my life. And I thank you so much for bringing this movie to all of us. Can you again tell everybody how to get you and how to find out where they can watch this if they don't win tickets here? I want to throw that out again. Our phone number is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Really quick, we're at the end of our show, and I thank you so much for being a guest here.
Thank you. And you want the website again. It's dyingtoknowmovie.com. And we will have some really interesting speakers throughout the week. So go on the website. We'll have scientists talking about the research around this work and a whole cast of interesting
Perfect.
People.
Thank you so much, Gaye. I look forward to talking with you again. And, of course, we are at the end of this first hour, and we always end it with a moment of happiness. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't sell out. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and we will be right back.
Story.